gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain come tumbling.
Welcome to In the Garden, the last In the Garden. Hard to believe, isn't it? Shar Shar.
Oh, wow. It's a little sad. And, you know, looking outside today, you can kind of see it is the end of the garden
blustery
today.
And snowy. And this is our much anticipated and much sought after gardener's gift for the holidays show. And Shar has put together a wonderful list of things that if you have a gardener in your life, or if you are that gardener, that you could be looking forward to something under your tree or in your stocking, or maybe one of those door dashes. They just leave it on your door.
Yep, and dash away.
And dash away. I want to start this show by saying we thank KDWA and all of our wonderful sponsors, which you have heard before and after our programs all throughout this season. And we just thank them so very much for making year number 4 possible. Wow. Shar, it's been a wonderful learning environment. We hope our listeners have found that as well, too. And I can't wait to see what is on your gift list.
Oh, it's going to be fun. And yes, again, thanks to everyone, KDWA and the sponsors. I look forward to putting this list together every year and try to vary it a little bit. And maybe I've been redundant in some cases, but let's just dig right in. But before I dig into any of the purchased items, don't forget homemade gifts. If you're a gardener, and Kelly and I know this, you're out there in cold weather. So if there's anybody out there that knows a simple garter stitch, knitting stitch, you know, a scarf for your favorite gardener to go out and dig those bulbs like I was doing the other day, or an apple pie to lift someone's spirit. You know, if you've been harvesting your own apples or bought some from the local orchard, a homemade apple pie, what a nice thing to give. So they don't all have to be purchased gifts. Just a nice homemade gift like that would just bring a smile to anyone's face.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to start off with one of my favorite gifts given to me at the holiday time of year in childhood. And this is for that youngster in your life, in your family or your circle of friends, maybe even a neighbor, who might have been introduced to gardening in just this year. My favorite gift when I was little was a trio of gardening tools, a hoe, a rake, a little shovel, with metal for the tool part, and then wooden handles for the handle. I've seen these tools plasticized. I myself prefer the wooden handles. They just shouldn't be left out in the rain. They were a huge part of my early gardening experience. Years later, when a coworker, who was also kind of a big gardener, had a child, I gave as a baby gift a set of those same kind of tools with wooden handles. And I hope that youngster was able to use them. I went on to a different job and lost touch with that worker, sad to say. Now, the rest of my gift tips are varied and in different price ranges, so let's just give it a go, shall we? You know, I saw a coffee mug online, and if I could find it in a store, I would buy it for myself even. It said, "You grow, girl." I just love that. "You grow, girl." I like that. And it wasn't too expensive either. I like that cup saying, but I also saw another coffee cup or coffee mug, coffee drinker that I am, that said simply, "Plant lady." And that's actually something I've been called, especially at the greenhouse where I work down at the hardware store in the summertime. The cup shows a lady tending to house plants, and she's wearing bib overalls. I love that. The strangest gardening tool gift idea that I saw in researching for this show were a pair of gloves with claws.
Oh, I
want
those.
At the end of each finger. I do too.
I absolutely do.
Put it on our list. Put it on your list. It almost looked like I was at the wrong website and I had clicked on a Halloween accessory page. They were called Garden Genie Gloves. They were breathable latex, washable, I assume, and were in the range of about $10 to $15.
It reminded me of a mole's hand.
Yes, it does. It looks just like that. You could dig with them and maybe even plant with them, provided you didn't need to dig a deep hole for a deeper root system. I would be tempted to try them in weeding, I think. And of course, with any of these items that I mentioned seeing online, you almost always have to add shipping and handling, unless you have Amazon Prime, for instance.
That's why maybe some of our local sponsors would be the best place
to try.
Check out for all of these gift-giving ideas.
See if they've got them. Now, the garden kneeler and seat. This works excellent for someone who isn't a spring chicken anymore. I qualify for that, in that you can rest your legs, your feet, and even your back while you're beside your garden patch, for instance, separating bulbs or cutting back some foliage and so on. The seat or kneeling pad is cushioned, and so if you're not sitting on it, at like a bench, you can simply tip it over and place it top down on the ground and kneel on it, on the padding part of it. The beauty in that is that sometimes it's hard to stand up from a kneeling position, so the legs of the device serve as braces that you can support yourself on while you're attempting to stand up. And some of these have a little vinyl pocket on the side for putting tools in, which probably works best only if you're using it as an upright seat rather than a kneeling pad. And by the way, the whole thing is almost always foldable. Now, for that gardener who's a great cook, how about an herb growing kit? These actually have a small variety, 3, maybe 4 seeds of common herbs that you can grow on a sunny windowsill. Now, I say sunny because most herbs, as the British call it, do have to have bright light in an indoor setting and sufficient water, too, or else they'll droop and not be as viable for you to use in your cooking and baking. The kits usually come with everything you need, at least to start the herbs. You may have to upsize the herbs to larger pots than the kit provided once they get going stronger. Something like this, depending on where you buy it, I've seen them anywhere in the $10 to $25 range, and I've seen them locally too. And speaking of growing kits, there are mushroom growing kits, something I've never tried. I've grown the herb kits indoors, but not mushrooms. The variety of mushrooms is usually the oyster mushroom, and the kit will either have the white oyster mushroom or the brown. Or sometimes the kit will offer both colors, brown and white. Now, I don't know how complicated these kits would be, but I would highly recommend going for, say, a beginner kit. Not necessarily meaning for youngsters, but meaning just a gardener who hasn't attempted to grow mushrooms before, like myself, for instance. Now, the sweetest thing I saw in the gardening gift world was a necklace with a shovel. Now, you might think, what? But seriously, it was very, very pretty and very delicate looking. Just small, maybe not even an inch in length, the shovel wasn't. Not clumsy at all. Just perfect for someone who might have found her sanity this year, working in her backyard garden. How appropriate would that be? I think we all could use that. Gardening toolkits. Now, this is something that might be more pricey, especially if you're going for the whole 9 yards, the complete set of necessary hand tools. That should include good quality and durable hand clippers, some good leather gloves, usually called rose gloves, to work around any plant with thorns or buckthorn. How about that, Kelly?
I could use a pair of those myself.
A gardening apron, which is almost always like a tool belt that would hold your tools and keep handy so you're not always putting them down on the ground and maybe even losing them. I've done that on a few occasions.
I've lost some in the rows somewhere, to do my backtracking, and they're covered by debris,
yep,
or something. Oh, I hate that.
Yep.
Good idea.
My favorite pair of clippers is in the backyard somewhere, probably under a foot of dirt by now.
We're going to have to get a metal detector
to
find them.
I bet I should.
Maybe that's another good gift.
A metal detector for gardeners who lose their tools. And then another thing, in addition to all the many various tools, you know, the little trowel, the little bulb planters, the dandelion poke and weeders, maybe a small tote to carry around the items that you can't keep in your gardener's belt or apron. So, like I say, if you looked at all of this together, if you were doing kind of a gardener's toolkit, it could get a little pricey. Now, plants. We couldn't go a year without mentioning our favorite Christmas plants, right, Kelly? And there are so many. The number one flower that represents Christmas is the poinsettia. We've said it before, they are beautiful, and they bring joy for a long, long while. The only downside to them is that once, maybe come spring probably, they do start to diminish, and they're just really isn't a successful way to get them to come back to their original glory and splendor. Now, other plants and bulbs that might work as a backup instead of a poinsettia are your amaryllis. They come in the form of a bulb, like a kind of a kit, almost a kit, a growing kit. And they do come back every year. And if you follow the growing directions, you can get them into bloom too, pretty easily. Christmas cactus, which aren't in the succulent family like we did just talk recently, they are easily brought back into blossom if you follow some instructions for them too. They, as a matter of fact, about a week ago, I took some houseplants in because I knew, you know, or probably even longer ago than that, I brought houseplants in, and within a week's time, the Christmas cactus had set buds already. I put it in a dark space, and that's usually what happens. So
mine is in full bloom, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Well, it's early. My goodness sakes.
I think some people call them holiday cactuses
holiday
now because
cactus,
you never know when they're going to bloom.
Right.
I've had people explain that they've bloomed as early as Halloween.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite holiday plant other than the ones we mentioned?
No, but what I would like to say, too, is that people can certainly make a wonderful gift by a gift certificate for their favorite plant. So if you don't know exactly or if you're not going to be seeing that person like this holiday season, you might not see them. Why not send them a wonderful gift card or a gift certificate that names a favorite plant or something, and then they can pick it out for themselves whenever it's more convenient. And once again, we're listening to our last show of season four, and Char has got a wonderful bevy of holiday gifts that is perfect for your gardener, whether you make it or whether you purchase it. I'm sure all of these things will be well accepted by your favorite gardener. Well, we have some more time, so Char, besides plants, what else could we give our favorite gardener?
Well, I usually save this towards the end of the list, but I am going to go through some of these. And they are the books, the gardening books, because it's one of my favorite gifts to give other people. And I like to receive books because, you know, you need to have something to occupy yourself in the wintertime, right? On those snowy afternoons
having.
Yes, it gives you hope. So a gardening book. And can an avid gardener ever have too many gardening books?
I say no.
No. Exactly. You're so right. My answer would be no as well. But I located some that are piquing my interest this year. Floriography, an illustrated guide to the Victorian language of flowers. And the author is Jessica Rue. Basically, the Victorian age was great for the meaning of flowers. You know, what meant love, what meant friendship. I'm not going to get into all of the details, but floriography includes just that. So it's a lot of fun, especially if that kind of is your thing. The Crafty Gardener, inspired ideas and do-it-yourself crafts from your own backyard. So there's another one. The author is Becca Anderson. And this one I thought was interesting. The Triumph of Seeds, how grains, nuts, kernels, pulses, and pips conquered the plant kingdom and shaped human history. Doesn't that sound dramatic?
It wow. really does. It sounds like there should be some very music. Awe-inspiring music that
we
goes along
have
with that.
Music in the background. The Triumph of Seeds. The author to that is Thor Hansen. And now here is the book that I'm putting on my wish list. Santa, a.k.a. Rudy, are you listening? Gardener's Quiz and Puzzle Book. 100 brain teasers for gardeners who know their onions. Now, it's nothing to do about onions. They just, I think, threw that in there to make people chuckle. But Gardener's Quiz and Puzzle Book. I'm saying it twice now, you notice.
Well, it worked last year, Char.
I know, I did. Had a beautiful book out of that. I love it. I resort to that often. The co-authors on the Quiz and Puzzle Book are Simon Aykroyd and Dr. Gareth Moore. There's actually more than 100 teasers or puzzles, like they say, more like 400 of them inside. So what better way to pass some time this winter, which might prove to be a challenge given the current state that we're living in. So, and then beyond the books, I'm going to throw out another one of my own. See how I'm being a little bit selfish here. I've been investigating this thoroughly. I have not wanted to run an electrical cord through to the backyard. The birds are just so interested in being at the water, the bird bath, and finding water. I am trying to find a solar-powered heated bird bath. Now, I'm not quite sure if it's really the best thing in this area, because I don't know if we get enough sun. Will it freeze up, you know, on the days we're not getting a lot of sun? But I do want to look into it, and you know, I would really want to try.
I think that's a good thing to look for as well, because the birds need us all year round.
All year round.
So. All right. Well, we are at the very end of our show, but before we go, we're going to do something very traditional, and
yes.
Char has a lovely poem for us.
Yes. I end today and our season this year, and I thank you all for listening to our program, with verses 13 through 16 of Dorothy Frances Gurney's beloved poem, God's Garden, written back in 1913. The kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth, one is nearer God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth.
What a wonderful way to end our show and our season. We hope you have enjoyed our 33 shows this season, and we thank KDWA and all our wonderful sponsors once again for making it possible for us to bring it to you. And also thank you to Char and Rudy for hosting us this whole year while we've been doing it on location. And although it's snowy and cold now, we can always look forward to another spring. See you next year.
Bye, everyone.
It's hard to believe that we've completed 4 years of In the Garden on KDWA. Char and I would like to thank each of our listeners for their input and valuable feedback, our sponsors for their continued support, especially this year when each of them faced new challenges, and mostly to KDWA for choosing to bring you this program. We love talking about gardening and hope you've enjoyed the 156 programs we have aired since 2017. I look forward to another spring and to once again asking Char, how does your garden grow? Till the rain come tumbling down.